According to Jesus' parable, there are Christians at every point along the journey of faith who lose or give up on the word. This happens right away for some apparent Christians because they fail to take it in. They hear it, sure enough, they even come to church, but they do not regard Christ's word as such a treasure to grab hold of and guard in their hearts. Instead, they flitter around with it until one day it is snatched from their midst and is no longer available. It is really a horrifying statement which Christ makes in the gospel, that the devil takes the word right out of their hearts. Give no opportunity to the devil. Jesus himself tells us these people will not be saved. Other hearers of the word fall because of the trials and troubles the word brings with it, and the word is lost to them. This after receiving it with joy. Jesus is not talking here about those who blaspheme the word of God, but those who come willingly to hear the word and receive the sacrament. Jesus is describing some of the happiest Christians. What happens? For them, the seed Jesus has planted becomes the enemy within as it begins to cost them more in suffering than they had bargained for. In self-defense, these might argue, the implanted word must be aborted. Rather than the world from which the persecution comes, Jesus is viewed as the intruder. Such is Eileen McDonough's argument for abortion set forth in yesterday's Journal Gazette. The fetus massively intrudes on a woman's body and expropriates her liberty. If the woman does not consent to this transformation and use of her body, the fetus's imposition constitutes injuries sufficient to justify the use of deadly force to stop it, as in rape, kidnapping, or slavery. Amidst tribulation, you will be tempted to abort what has been planted in you, but hold fast to it, that you may receive the crown of life that Christ's word brings. And then there are those whose lives and faith in the word are swallowed up by the worries, riches, and pleasures of life. Their faith is choked by a selfish concern for themselves and desire for temporal pleasure. The worries spoken of here include the thought of raising a family on meager means, which thought at times nearly overwhelms. And the pleasures. These involve our sinful lusts that delight in the swimsuit edition of sport when it just happens to fall into our mailbox, or in the sensuous scene one comes across while innocently channel surfing. How does it happen that people who were once filled with faith find themselves choking? Listen to how our Lutheran fathers answered that question in the Formula of Concord. The reason is not that God does not want to impart the grace of perseverance to those in whom he has begun the good work. This would contradict St. Paul in Philippians 1:6. The reason is that they willfully turn away from the holy commandment, grieve and embitter the Holy Spirit, become entangled again in the filth of the world, and decorate their hearts as a tabernacle for the devil, so that their last state will be worse than the first. Decorate their hearts as a tabernacle for the devil. It is self-evident that quite a little bit of decorating goes on in our culture today. Consider the music, the pictures, the words, the dress, the obsession with strong drink, let alone drugs, and the physical movements that characterize not just the youth culture of our day, but then infect our entire civilization. And it's not difficult to imagine for whom the party is being given. Dear saints in Christ, what is happening here now stands in stark contrast. By the Spirit who dwells in you, you have repented of your sinfulness and are receiving once more the implanted word which is able to save your souls. For the sower, Jesus Christ, is sowing his seed into your very heart. He is not like other sowers who count on things external like sun, soil, and rain to bring about growth. Jesus himself is the Word made flesh. He is the eternal seed, so that when he sows the seed, he is in fact sowing himself. He proclaims himself, his birth, his presentation, his suffering, death, and resurrection for the purification of all people. This is the seed that bears fruit and grows into eternal life. It needs no external nurturing, no entertaining bands, no social plan or program. If the seed remains, fruit will be forthcoming. Such is the treasure of our communion of the Word's incarnate flesh and blood under bread and wine. Its message, like that of Jesus' parable, is summed up in Hebrews 10. The just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.